Okay, we're talking about dealing with conflicts, and for all practical purposes, all I'm going to share is a few principles. Now, here's the way this works out for me. These are, again, this is something I have in my own Bible marked, so when I'm facing conflicts, I review these 13 principles. And what I find is that different points in my journey, I need to be reminded of point number 3 or point number 5, because that has drifted away from my thought process. And so as you go through these, some of those you do naturally. Some people do a lot of them naturally, but not all of them. God said this is the way to find unity. First of all, John chapter 12, verse 18 tells us, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people. Psalms 133, verse 1 says, behold, good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I just chose 3. I could have gone on and on and on and on. God wants peace. He wants us to be living in peace. He wants us to have unity. That's what he wants. But because of sin, it is not an easy thing in this day and age. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, one of my favorite verses. Actually, these 3 verses, 2 of them, 18 and 28, I use so frequently when I sit down with people that I'm trying to understand what's going on. And I use the first one that says, he who answers the matter before I hear it is a folly and a shame unto him. I say to him, listen, I just want you to know right up front, if you want folly from me, just don't tell me the truth. It's just Scripture says it's going to work. If I don't know what's really going on, I have no chance. So you'd be wise, and as a listener, be wise to listen carefully, because you'll give bad advice if you don't have good information. 17 tells us that even if you have a conflict between 2 people, really a wise idea to hear from both sides. It says the first one to plead his case seems right. And then what's the next word? Until what happens? His neighbor comes and examines him. In other words, gives the rest of the story, the other side of the story. Then all of a sudden it doesn't fit together so well. Proverbs 28:13 is a reminder that he who covers his sin will not prosper. Not only will you get folly from the person you go to for advice, you are not going to have any break from your sin. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh them can expect, because of the word of God, mercy from the Lord. Honesty is a good policy, isn't it? And here's the point. Get your facts right if you want to resolve conflicts. It's not a minor issue. It is very, very tough. Everyone involved needs to recognize this has got to be a priority. We've got to get it right. Not the emotions. What really did happen? Not how you felt about what happened or how embarrassed you are about what happened. What really happened? Proverbs 15:13 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? This is an important truth. It's not always the best time to talk about a matter. Ever been there? I'll tell you a classic one. One of the things that I don't do, in 20 years, I have to change it tonight, but in 20 years, I've only known one situation where if somebody has gone off and, they were a user and then they got their life together and then they've gone back into their old lifestyle. Only once in 20 years have I seen where people go after that person, that they find them out doing their thing, and then talk them into coming back, that it has produced anything decent. Because what it says in another portion of Scripture, the prodigal son, the father waits for the individual to get to an end of himself, and then he comes home. And then he receives them warmly. Okay? But here's the point. Ever tried to have an in-depth discussion with somebody who's drunk about what they need to change in their life? Seriously, how many of you have been there? Yeah, how well does it work? Now, well, The point is, choose your time carefully. A classic example of that is if you're trying to reach somebody who you really love who has a problem with alcohol or drugs, wait until they're coming off of it instead of when they're high on it. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're much more likely to be communicating with the real person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 has a couple of principles. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Speaking the truth in love. It tells me this for sure. You better control your attitude. It doesn't say speaking the truth in anger. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, these kids were, what was really triggered the thing tonight is I walked into church and one girl was pulling another girl down the hallway by her hair, and another girl, instead of running to her rescue, was cheering the situation on. That was more than I could handle. I said, you know, this is not okay. This is not acceptable. Now, when I did that, I was forceful. But I was not mean, angry. I just said, this can't go on. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's, you can still be firm. And you, Lord knows we need to be firm when things are going the wrong direction. But we got to be careful that we don't get wicked and angry and drop to the same level. Does that make sense? As in addition, choose your words carefully. Speaking the truth, not speaking your emotions. Another way of looking at this is speaking. It's not okay to just clam up. Speaking the truth, so when you do speak, you got to use true words, the real facts. And then the facts need to be delivered in a gracious manner, lovingly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And above all things, having fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin." Ooh. You know, I really dislike this verse. I mean, I say this with total respect for the Word of God. But for me personally, this verse really stretches me. Because I try to figure out when is it right that love should hide many of the issues. We don't, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you just say, you know what? What ought to happen here is this bum ought to be thrown out. Ah, you struggle and say, is this the right time or is this the time to show grace and mercy? So I'm not saying that this communicating biblically is a real easy thing to do. It is something you really, really need to do prayerfully and carefully. But I'd be remiss to say we're told to be holy as he is holy. You know, we are to be his ambassadors. We are to represent our Savior. But in the process, when we interact with others, we need to be gracious at all times. And sometimes it means that, you know what? We're going to forgive this time and just kind of go, we're just going to go on. You understand what I'm saying? There are times when that's the case. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us how to sort out those times. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What is it saying? Particularly in this issue, it is pray for wisdom. Scripture says, yeah, we all recognize Scripture says we as believers are to be praying continually. Ever wondered about that? You know, do you have a prayer time? You know, I have a prayer time where I get by myself and I pray and I pour my heart out to the Lord. But it says pray continually. I can't do that all the time or I'm not going to accomplish it. One man explained it this way, and I believe it really is the key to praying continually. For me, it is a reminder to remember that God is ever present. He is right here, right now, and in my thought life and in my interactions with others, recognize that God is right here with me. And I interact with him mentally. Lord, what would you want me to do? Sometimes that means I'm walking this direction with the intention of doing this, and I get there and I say, you know what? No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing something else because I sense the leading, the prompting of the Lord. My point is, we are in a relationship and it ought to be interactive. It isn't mechanical and it isn't cold and dry. It's a personal relationship with Jesus, and we ought to be interacting, and He will, in fact, lead us. Always in accordance with His Word, however. Never outside. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of protection. You know, there is such an emphasis in the Word of God about us manifesting the love of Christ. And that word, agape, for love, means that we sacrificially give of ourselves to meet the needs of another. We, of all people, are to demonstrate love. Now, love doesn't mean, it isn't the loving thing to allow a person to remain in their sinful behavior. It's a loving thing to help them make some changes. Sometimes that's pretty painful, and it may not seem like the loving thing. I think of rearing children. You know, a five-year-old may not think it's loving that you say it's time for bed, and then when they disobey, you have to provide some corporal discipline to help them understand this is the right thing to do. That's biblical, by the way. Now, having said that, that five-year-old may not see everything that you do as loving. But it is shocking that if you administer discipline, corporal punishment, in a biblical way, one of the things you do at the end is you help them understand that, listen, I love you. And I'm doing this because I love you. The loving thing is to confront this. You may not know it. You know, I think of your little boy, Tony, who is such a curious little guy. And he's a curious George. You ever seen that ever, you know, that cartoon? That's Tony. He studies everything. He's always getting in. He seems so nice, but he has a streak that you turn your back in. But when you discipline him and then you talk to him afterwards, he really does. You know, you can connect with him and you say, whoa, this is sweet. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be, even in our discipline, demonstrating love. That verse, I'm going through several verses now in a row in Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Radiate the peace of God. Even in the midst of turmoil, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but at times when things really get hot, it's hard to be peaceful. Is that not true? You know, the only place you can find it, in my opinion, is going back and praying and asking God, help me. Help me to maintain the testimony that you want in the midst of this. Colossians, one more verse in that passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonition one another, psalms and hymns, spiritual thing, singing with grace in your heart. What's the primary thought that I wanted to bring out? The Word of Christ. Use the Word of God as your guide. If you're trying to get your life together, you ought to be marking your Bibles and say, this is a principle I need to start putting in my life. And you ought to be learning several a day. You know, it's, and then practice them. And say, how do I put this in a place in my life? That's the key. That's the key to finding victory. Is learning to walk closely with Jesus, following His Word, guided by the prompting of His Spirit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, brings up another item in conflict resolution, which is huge. Particularly if you're working with teenagers, by the way. This is really, really critical with teenagers. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. For parents, this is a good idea. Disciplining your child for acting out angrily at someone else. in your process of disciplining, were you modeling what you want, or were you modeling what you saw? You understand what I'm saying? This is a critical issue. Examine yourself before you accuse someone else. Sometimes it's right to go to them when they've done wrong in that area and ask for them for forgiveness for modeling the wrong thing before. You know, I really should be disciplining a little, Tony. I should be disciplining right now. But I'm not, because I recognize I have modeled the wrong thing before you. Forgive me, but next time, next time, you're accountable. Do you understand what I'm saying? This being transparent. How many of you think you've got your life together? That's the right answer. The truth is, this life is a challenge. Okay? Any of us that think that we've arrived, by merely saying that, we're hypocrites. Matthew chapter 5. Now, I'm going to go through two verses. I want you to note what's going on here. Therefore, if anyone brings a gift, Jesus is speaking, to the altar, and there remembers that your brother has something against you. Who's done wrong now? You have done wrong. And you're about ready to worship, you know, on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night like this, and you're just praising God in your songs, and it's just such a sweet, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that to him. That wasn't right. Here's what scripture says. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and give your gift. It is no minor issue in the eyes of God, unity. Now, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peace with all. It isn't always possible. They may say, get out of my life, man. I don't want to ever talk to you, and you can't quite reconcile. But at least you need to make your effort. And if you have, then you can come back and worship the Lord in peace, because you've done what you could do. The other side of it, that's seek resolution before continuing, and not the continuation of the conflict. Okay, you're seeking resolution. That ought to be your goal. Next verse is from Luke chapter 17, 3 and 4. It actually goes all the way through 10, but for this purpose we'll use 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. Who is supposed to pay attention to this? You are. You're supposed to examine. It's self-examination time. If your brother sins against you, now who has done the wrong? The other person. Now it's the other side of this. Rebuke him, and if he repents, notice that qualification, forgive him. Now I want to say this is a pretty fascinating aspect. In regards to horizontally, it is dependent on them repenting if you confront them with the reality. In regards to your heart going vertically, you better be careful not to harbor bitterness, because God said never do that. And so you need to settle it with the Lord vertically and say, Lord, you know what? I've settled this issue. It's not going to dominate my life. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to honor you, and it's not going to rule who I am. So there's that tension there. But it goes on, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, what are you supposed to do? By the way, when it used the word 7, it says it happened over and 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 over. So it's a number for completion. Boy, that is a challenge. In a family setting where someone has done wrong, developed a habit, an addiction, and the pattern repeats itself, repeats itself, repeats itself. Man, does that get heavy. But that's exactly what Scripture says. Stay right with Him. Have the right heart. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians said, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God in everything. Always purpose to bring honor to God. Do what God would have you to do and what will bring Him glory. Now, I'm going back. Remember the Romans 12 is where I started, right? If it is possible is the thing that I want to emphasize. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, let peace be with all men. What is the if it is possible tell us? It may or may not be possible. Notice what Titus 3, verse 10 and 11 add to this thought process. Reject the advice of man after the first and the second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. Notice Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Okay, those four verses lead to one principle in my mind, and it's this. There are some relationships that need to be ended. Hard as it is, there are some that need to be ended because they do snare your soul. You know it. Okay, and the only smart thing to do is you say, no, I got to reach them for Jesus. May or may not. You may not be the right person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you're not the right person. Sometimes the smartest thing you can do is stay away so you keep walking with the Lord and pray that God will send the right person. Dealing with conflict, quickly. Get your facts right. Choose the right time. Control your attitude. Control your words. You should hide. Many issues should be hid. You know, they're just not the main event. Pray for wisdom. Demonstrate love. Radiate the peace of God. Use God's word as your guide. Examine yourself before you accuse someone else. Seek resolution and practice forgiveness, not a continuation of the battles. Now, I'm not going to ask. I'm not asking for any hands, but you know what? We all know people that had things happen a long time ago, and they're still angry with them, and they're never, we're not ever talking. That's it. We're done. Ever seen that? Ever heard that? It's not God's way. If it is possible, we ought to do what we can do. Always purpose to honor God. But sometimes it's right to keep our distance.